on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR Decatur, Dallas-Fort Worth, and on 91.3 KYJC Commerce.
Portions of KDKR programming do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
Well, is making a cheaper electric car the answer? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for the special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money. Good afternoon, this is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know, I do appreciate it. Every Friday, Tony Joe's with me to talk about your Car Corner questions. We do have a line open if you'd like to call in, 1-877-913-5357, 1-877-913-5357. You can also go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com, send a question in to the Ask Bob section if you want a question for me, and or if it's too many moving parts, a little bit more complex than an email can handle, make sure you go to my calendar there and find some time that we can have a phone call. We'll take care of your situation that way. Just a one way we can get information to you through the website at prudentmoney.com. 1-877-913-5357. Well, Tony Joe, how's it going?
Oh, well, I am doing very well today, and how are you, sir?
I am doing great. Always good on a Friday afternoon. You know, you and I, and let me I want to preface something before I bring this up, because we talk a lot about, and I think it's more about kind of fascination than anything else, as we watch a very long-term story develop before our very eyes. But this the stories about Tesla and electric cars, and we every you know when the news cycle gets kind of going on this, we like to talk about it. What we're not saying is horrible vehicles. Don't go buy an electric car or anything like that. We're just talking about it's just really interesting.
Yes, yeah. No, we don't want to portray or be perceived as we hate EVs. We're just trying to keep the communication lines open as to what's the latest developments, because when you're starting a new venture such as, you know, EVs, even though Tesla's been around since 2012, 2013, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But, you know, it's going to have its uphill battles, and it's going to have hills to climb and struggles to endure, and we like to keep abreast of all those because it's just an interesting thing. We get to experience it in our lifetime, and you know, that's not something that everybody will ever have a chance to experience. So we don't want to think badly of us that we're bad mouthing EVs. We don't mean to do that.
Well, and I think right now, with the infrastructure the way it is, it can definitely handle probably handle the number of EVs that are out there. I mean, I haven't seen or heard of any problems. It's not really a bad time to get one if you're going to get one, especially with the tax deductions. And then what I kept seeing these articles about Tesla slashing, the word was slashing. costs of their various models, and I finally decided I wanted to look it up today before you and I got on the air. And that slashing is they cut $2,000 off of most of the models
from like $60,000 to $58,000.
It was they don't say
all vehicles must go by the end of the month.
Now here's something funny. They said they reduced the price. Okay, now let all these words flow in together and listen to it, okay?
Okay.
They reduced the price of its full self-driving car assistance mode, full self-driving driver assistance mode.
Right.
Cool. So when you first look at that, you're looking at full service driving car. But it says full self-driving driver assistance mode.
Mm-hmm. And you know that
you they call it something else. It makes it a little bit more...
Well, you know, the thing is, you can buy a Tesla, and if you don't buy that package...
Right.
Then it's not going to be a, well, quote-unquote, self-driving. It's going to be driver... It's never self-driving. It's always assisted. Because a lot of people think it's self-driving, and they fall asleep while watching a movie going down 35 at 70 miles an hour, but it really wasn't meant to be that. It never was intended to be that. It's always meant to be driver-assisted with you on the Ready 5 in case anything happens. However, we know as human beings, and we've pointed this out not just with Tesla, but with some of the other self-driving vehicles. Tesla's certainly not the only one out there in this arena, but the problem with self-driving vehicles, quote-unquote self-driving, you know, Bob, you get complacent. Even the people that are testing the self-driving cars under initial runs out on the street with traffic and so forth. Think about this. You're going to do a 4-5 hour shift, and you're going to be on the Ready 5 every minute just in case anything goes wrong. Well, after a while, you're going to get tired, complacent. We've seen some of the videos where people that are supposed to be the person in charge, overseeing the human in charge in case anything happens, they're on their cell phone, they're distracted, then something happens and you're not ready for it. It just goes against human nature. I can't ever see that being tested or coming to full fruition in the way they expect it to. Not because it can't be done, but because I don't feel it'll ever be as reliable as someone behind the wheel. There's got to be so many instances that can't be written into the software to avoid certain situations like a human brain behind the wheel. Well, most human brains behind the wheel. I will rule out some people I know.
You're right.
But anyway, you know, it's a tricky, tricky proposition, and I don't know how it's going to end, but watching the development is certainly interesting.
You're seeing, you know, Hertz lost a lot of money during their first quarter, or they reported they lost a lot of money, and they sold a lot, like 30,000 or so EVs to cut costs. I just, that's not a promising check the box for the future of EVs when you see a car company like Hertz do that.
Mm-hmm. Maintenance costs. Thinking of the bottom line, they got to consider, I know, they're a business and they're running vehicles, and they've got to consider all the costs involved with maintaining and repairing these vehicles. So you got to understand that, like any other business, they're going to consider all the different factors and get rid of maybe some of the more expensive maintenance cars that, you know, they have to keep up with, and that just makes good business sense to anybody.
Now, they did have the story from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration talked about the trucks, the EV trucks, which are pretty interesting looking. Tesla had a pedal, the accelerator pedal would get stuck, and that just sounds awful.
Well, considering the weight of that vehicle out of control with a gas pedal stuck to the floor, yeah, that's pretty dangerous set of circumstances. This is being addressed, but that Cybertruck also, like all the other vehicles, have had their issues, which is expected, but this is one that's, you know, really kind of dangerous. I mean, that's a heavy vehicle at high speed, could do a lot of damage. Hopefully, you know, they'll get it resolved and get it fixed, which I know they will, but in the meantime, if you see one of those on the road, you might give them a little bit of room.
Yeah, I just, ooh.
You like to get up to it and look at it. I've done it myself. I like to get in the lane right next to it and kind of eyeball it.
I still haven't seen one.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Yeah,
no.
You'll see them on the LBJ and on the highway lot.
I just know that if I had one, it would be in the shop as quickly as I heard that story. That's not a good thing.
Well, I don't know that you'd necessarily have anything to worry about. You know.
Really? Why?
Well, because, you know, you're a fast driver anyway.
I'm not a fast driver.
Wouldn't bother you one bit.
1-877-913-5357. And I do have a line open if you'd like to talk to Tony Joe. 1-877-913-5357. You know, one of the things I wanted to make sure that we put some closure to is what we were talking to last week about brakes. And we don't always get to, sometimes we have to spread it out over two or three times. But there was a question that came up. And in fact, this question took you a very long time to answer. So when you're thinking about a brake job and you're thinking about everything that goes into it, how many major parts could you possibly replace? Having said that, just keep with the major parts and not the entire brake assembly.
Okay, so the major parts involved normally in a brake job are going to be the pads and rotors. Those are the first set of things that a normal brake job would be influenced by and things that you're normally going to pay for. But you can have little things extra in there like calipers and brake lines and brake fluid flushes, things like that. That's the next common area that you might run into when dealing with a brake problem on your car. But, you know, Bob, when you think about brakes, those are the major things. But, you know, there's a lot of things that go along with a brake job that you may not realize are affecting the pull of the car or something. And we'll talk about that after the break.
1-877-913-5357. This is Bob Brooks. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Bob Brooks. Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 are the exact same verse word for word. I call them the stewardship verses of risk. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. On the Prudent Money Radio Show, we teach about risk, how to identify it, how to figure it out, and what to do about it. We believe that to be a prudent steward, you have to be a good risk manager. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show on Bible School Radio 91.3. Prudent Money, home of the modern day steward movement.
Hi, I'm Jill Taylor, inviting you to join me each Saturday morning at 11 o'clock for Choose Life Radio. You'll hear people from across America sharing their stories of faith, forgiveness, redemption, and restoration. Choose Life Radio will encourage you to fully appreciate the gift of life. You may also find help for you or a friend in need. So please join me Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock right here on Bible School Radio 91.3.
Dynamic. Practical, life-changing.
There's no point in going to church and not letting the Christ who gave birth to the church on the day of Pentecost change your life.
Join us each day as Pastor Paul Shepherd applies the timeless truth of Scripture to everyday life. It's Destined for Victory on this great station.
Weekday afternoons at 3:30 here on Bible School Radio, KDKR.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money. 1-877-913-5357. If you've got a question for Tony Joe, we do have a line open. We'd love to hear from you today. Okay, Tony Joe, what were you saying there before you got it cut off?
Well, I was just going to point out a couple of things that sometimes get confused with brake problems, such as things like when I put the brakes on, my car pulls to the right, okay? Let's just say that's an example. Well, in my experience, that can happen, and it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the brakes. We've all seen this. Mechanics generally have seen this for a variety of reasons, such as, let's say a lower control arm with worn bushings is allowing it to shift every time you apply the brakes. Well, that will make your car pull, but that's due to a chassis pull, a chassis problem, not a brake problem. But you would think, because when you put the brakes on, it pulls to the right, that one brake is tighter than the other one, and it's causing the car to pull that way. And there's, you know, several other instances like that that I can point out sometime that are kind of confusing. You think it's a brake problem, you take it in, and there really isn't anything wrong with the brakes. So then you've got to start looking elsewhere. And I just wanted to point out that, Bob, that things can happen right. that aren't really brake-related, but they would mask themselves as brake problems.
Now, talk a little bit about some of the problems that you have when, on the front end, the front end vibrating. What's going on there?
Yeah, now that is a pretty common deal. For the benefit of everybody listening that does not know this, when you apply the brakes, you're squeezing two brake linings together, sandwiching a rotor in between, in most cases. So the rotor itself is designed to absorb heat. The idea behind braking is friction. Friction causes heat. The more heat we can take away or radiate away from the brake system, the cooler the temperature of the brakes are going to be, and the less brake fade you'll have. So that means your brakes work better. Keep them cooler, they work better, more efficiently. So as you're wearing the brake pads down over normal use, you're also wearing down and putting a glaze on the outside of the rotors due to the pad material embedding itself into the rotor material. So over time, you're dissipating less and less heat. So your brakes don't work as good as they did before. And when it gets to a point where the brake pads are thin, the rotors cannot actually get rid of the heat fast enough, and they become warped. They're no longer round and lateral. They now have little hills and valleys in them. And that's due to heating up the metal to the point where it becomes warped. And the reason this story is going on like this is because if you're driving down the road and you hit your brakes or you apply your brakes to stop at a stop sign or a stoplight and you feel this vibration or shuddering, you can feel it in the whole car, you can feel it in the steering wheel, the dash. When you experience that kind of a vibration, ask yourself, next time I stop, does it do it any other time, or is it only when I apply the brakes? If it's only when you apply the brake pedal, then you probably are getting warped rotors, i.e. brake linings are worn out, i.e. it's time to have the brakes checked. Don't be surprised if you need pads and rotors, because to save weight nowadays, the EPA mandates these CAFE standards, corporate average fuel economy. And in order to meet some of these standards that the manufacturers have to be compliant with, they are trying to lighten the weight of the vehicle. So that means the brake rotors, which used to have good metal on them, good thick surfaces, no longer have the thickness they once had. They're thinner, made that way now to save weight. You can't always resurface rotors anymore. Sometimes you just have to throw them in the garbage and replace them because they're already too thin to resurface from the day they're made. So as they get warped, instead of resurfacing them on a machine like we used to do, you have to toss them in the garbage and put on new rotors. Now you need a brake job will consist of a couple of rotors and new pads. So these are things that are making it more expensive, and these are signs of what you need to keep your eyes on, at, you know, brake shutter and so forth. You say, well, I pretty much have heard what that might be from a guy I listened to on the radio. So probably know what that's going to be. That way you're kind of prepared for it.
Sure, sure. Well, talk a little bit about, you've mentioned this before, and I think it's something important for people to understand, is that you could take two mechanics, looking at the same set of brakes and come up with two different recommendations. One says, oh, you can wait 10,000 miles. The other one says, oh, you got to get those fixed. In fact, you need to fix this. You need to replace this while you're doing this. And it's going to be $800.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about that. And one thing before you jump in, one of the things that I'm curious about, and it probably doesn't even matter if there is one, but is there, you know, I know that some of the organizations that you're a part of and some of the groups that you're a part of, isn't there a standard that everybody can use? Or if that makes any sense.
Well, there is. There is such a thing as a standard, and that is that the brake indicator is designed to hit the rotor a certain thickness before the brake linings become dangerous. Generally, that's the standard that most people are going to use. However, let me complicate this a little bit. Just follow me for a minute. Two guys can look at a set of brakes on a car, two mechanics, as you said. One will say that needs brakes, the other will say it doesn't need brakes. Not yet. Okay, where does the judgment call come in? How do you know? Well, you got to look at things like this. The pads are getting there, okay? Now, you say, well, what does the person do with this car? Because if you've got brake pads that are getting down pretty good, you could wait how long before you got to actually bring it back and have the brakes done. Well, it depends. If you're a soccer mom lifestyle person who drives from traffic light to traffic light, gets the kids from school, goes to the grocery store, comes back, runs errands, takes soccer practice the next night or whatever. You know what I mean? A lot of short hops in the city, traffic light to traffic light. Are you going to use those brakes more than the guy who gets up in the morning, gets on the highway and drives from Dallas to Fort Worth on I-30 or I-20, and never hits the brakes until it's time to get off for his exit? Now, think about that for a minute. If you've got brake pads that are getting worn down, who can go longer before they're going to be back in the shop as a convenience matter? Like, do we do it now, or can this guy go another 6 months? Well, these are the kind of factors that you have to know about who your customer, or at least find out what their driving pattern is, what do they do as far as mileage, and are they in the city all the time? Because obviously, the person that drives in the city is going to wear their brakes out far quicker than the person that I previously described that goes from Dallas to Fort Worth to work and then home and hits his brakes maybe five times the whole day. Do you see, Bob,
mm-hmm,
how
sure
that can affect the wear and the time intervals that you're going to wear out those brake linings? So there's an awful lot that goes into a judgment call. It's all logic and common sense, but you've got to piece the puzzle together first. And that's what we try to do, is try to, you know, make what's the best thing for this particular person.
You know, I just find it interesting, you know, going back to the example of the two mechanics looking at the same set of brakes and one being ultra conservative and then one being not so conservative. But we at the same point, we are talking about the brakes. You know, but
yes, and
so
yeah, you are. And you know, there are, let's say that two mechanics look at a disaster. They're both going to agree, hey, the pads are digging into the rotors. We got to do a brake job. So there are the extreme cases where they're both going to agree. But let me point out one other factor that I hate to point out, but it's real world life. And you got to face up to it. And that is, are they being paid on commission? Now, I know that sounds unreasonable. Don't be ridiculous. But does matter.
Let me jump in real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to say that is a very important part of the equation.
Well, of course.
And I don't think anybody thinks that mechanics are on commission.
Well, think about it. If it's a commission job and he's going to get a piece of the parts, you know, a percentage, then his judgment call, is it going to be conservative or a little on the liberal side? You know what I mean? It's human nature. There's nothing, it's not a sin, it's not wrong, but it's going to sway his decision either way.
It definitely could influence it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be willing to bet that the vast majority of people listening right now had no idea that there are a lot of mechanics who work on an hourly pay. Well, about what percentage would you say that comes down to?
Most of them now. Most, like 90%.
This is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.